Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. I've never been here to preach before. So when Mike asked me, I was grateful to do so. And just appreciate everybody being out. I know you guys have a lot of people missing this morning. And it's good that I can bring my family and hopefully fill some of those gaps. If you want to turn over to Psalm 121, these first few minutes of the first hour, we're going to look at that scripture, Psalm 121. Some of you might know the song, and I kind of want to touch on this song. The title of it is In Christ Alone, and I don't know how old the song is, but I think it's been around for a while. It's a beautiful song. And I want to talk about the title, really. Some of what's in the body of the song is going to come into play here. But really, the title is what's kind of important to me this morning. The title is In Christ Alone. And I think a lot of times we forget that we need to be in Christ alone. Meaning, there is a difference between being in Christ and being in the world. And a lot of times we kind of get caught up in the world, and there's a big difference in how the Lord wants us to live our lives, to be spiritual or to be worldly. And that's why I'm kind of hinting on the word alone this morning, because we sometimes fall short. And I don't think any of us would ever claim to be perfect. But I want us to consider how important it is this morning to be in Christ alone. And that song talks about the hope that's offered in being in Christ and the strength that's offered as we are in Christ, the love and the peace that comes from that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, new things have come." So if you'll see here, it's talking about the old person and the new person and what happens when we take on Christ, when we get in Christ, when we're baptized into something, which is Christ. We put off that old person, we take on the new person. And those two people, which is who we were and now who we are, they don't really mesh together very well, the old and the new. It's kind of like oil and water. If you mix oil and water together, they don't mix too well. They don't mix at all, really. And that's what this verse is talking about, putting off that old person, being in Christ and taking on the new person. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, it says, "The one who is not with me is against me, and the one who does not gather with me scatters." Christ is talking about the same thing here. When we take on Christ, when we take on this new person who is the spiritually minded, the righteous, the person that wants to live for Christ, we put off that other person. And when we accept him back in, who maybe we used to be, we're going against Christ. We're not living for Christ. We're not abiding by what he is offering us. In Colossians 1:13, it says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness." Christ did. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So if you'll note here and see what's happening, what's taking place, we're, again, doing something different. We're being transferred from something old to something new. Being transferred from what may be the worldly, what the world would like, what the world would be, and being transferred to the kingdom of the beloved Son. And I think for us to see the importance of being in Christ, we all need to do our best. We need to play a part in making it very personal to us. Being in Christ, it has to be something that's personal. And that leads me to the scripture that I told you, Psalm 121. And as I read this, I'm going to really kind of make it personal to me. And I want you to do the same thing. And I'm going to read it just a little bit different, but it's just making it personal to me. And you put your name there. You say me when I read it as we do this. It says there, follow along if you would please. I will raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip. He who watches over me will not slumber. Behold, he who watches over me, he who watches over Jeremy and you, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my protector. The Lord is my shade on my right hand. The sun will not beat down on me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect me from all evil. He will keep my soul. The Lord will guard me going out and me coming in from this time and forever. So I hope as you read along, you thought about yourself and what the Lord's doing for you. And you're making this personal, this being in Christ alone, and putting off and doing away with and keeping away from that old person, that old me, that other me, the worldly person. Because it is a discrepancy. There's a big difference. And that's a personal choice that we have to make as Christ's people to be in Christ and not be in the world. It's a choice that you have to make as God's children, that we all do, to be in Christ and not in the world. Understanding that we are living in this world and living among the world, but we are not the world. We're supposed to be different. And all of this, it's a choice that we make as individuals. And Christ means that we do have protection from God, that He protects us. That He will not fail me. God will not fail me when I'm in Christ. When I'm living for Christ, He is there. He's there to comfort me. He's there because He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And He provides that way of escape from the world. Galatians 3 verse 27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." This is the personal choice of being in Christ. Nobody's forcing us. Nobody's going to make us be baptized. But it says, for you who are baptized into Christ, it's something that we choose and we take on. Acts 8, starting in verse 36, says, "As they went along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch." We all know this story about the eunuch. Nobody forced him. He was taught what he needed to do to be and receive salvation, to be a saved individual, to be in Christ. He was taught, and the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he ordered the chariot stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. It's a choice. It's a personal choice for us to take on the Lord, to take on Christ. The Lord lays out the details. He tells us what He wants us to do. He tells us what we must do to receive that salvation. But then it's up to us. It's up to us to make the right decision to take on Christ. To decide to be a slave to Christ, a slave to righteousness, rather than a slave to the sin that we've been involved in all our lives. It's a personal choice. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that the one to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of that same one whom you obey? either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, but though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. There was a change. There was a choice made. And after being freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. It's a choice that we have to make. And we have to decide to appeal to God, whether or not we're going to appeal to God or stay in the world and stay in sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in your offenses and sins, being in the world, being outside of Christ," means that we are dead. That we are dead in our offenses, that sin kills us. Ephesians 2 and chapter 12. "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world." When we allow ourselves to give in to that battle that we're faced with every day, when we don't recognize or we forget or we just let it go, that there is a difference between being in Christ alone and being in the world. It separates us. According to Scripture, it separates us from Christ. And we're caught up in our sin and we have no hope unless we are with God. So we need, in our personal choice, to make the decision to seek God. It needs to be our mission to serve Him. It needs to be our mission to follow Him. And it's something that, as we've talked about, is a choice freely given to us, God's Word given to us, and a choice that we freely make to follow Him. As a reminder, Matthew 4 talks about what's going to happen when we choose to give ourselves to God, to follow Him. He says there, "Follow me," Christ does, "and I will make you fishers of men." It leads to more things, being in Christ. It leads to us being a great example, leading others to Christ, bringing others with us. That's what the Lord wants us to be when we're in Christ, is fishers of men. And the second thing that I want to talk about when we're talking about being in Christ is the difference that it makes and the difference that has to take place when we are in Christ. In John 3:19, it says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." There's a difference that has to take place in the comparison of light and darkness. They just don't fit together. You can't have darkness if there's light there. You can't have light if there's darkness there. It just doesn't fit. We are the light. We are the light that takes over the darkness. And what the Lord wants us to be is that light. 1 John 3:9, "No one who has been born of God practices sin, because his seed remains in him and he..." Excuse me. "And he cannot sin continually because he has been born of God." I apologize. I'm losing my voice today for some reason. First John 3:9. I'm going to read that again. "No one who has been born of God practices sin, because his seed remains in him and he cannot sin continually because he has been born of God." When we give ourselves over to God, it changes something in us. It makes us different. And we are to be different when we take on Christ. We are to be different. And we need to allow that change to happen. Romans 6:3-4 says, or "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, So that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. When you read that last part where it says, so that we too may walk in newness of life, there's something different that's happening there. When you think about being in the world and then giving yourself to the Lord, there's something new about our lives that take place that we are allowed to accept, that we are allowed to be within us. And that ought to give us joy. It ought to make us praise God more, give Him the glory because of that newness that we have, the difference that takes place within us. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, so that He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we take on Christ, He cleanses us. He makes us different. We're accepting this new position, of being in Christ, and it changes us. But we have to be able to see that difference. We have to be able to feel that difference. We have to be able to project that difference to the world. We have to be able to show people the light in the darkness of the world. We have to be able to give that light off of us and understand that we are children of God, not children of the devil, not children of the world. 1 John 3:10 speaks of the difference. It is bringing the walk with God into our own lives, bringing it and practicing it, putting it forth, using it, and practicing that righteousness so that it's flowing from us to others. Doing away with the practice of sin, as it states in verse 9 there. The difference is righteousness rather than unrighteousness. Being in Christ and being in the world. Proverbs 1:15, I want to read. I think my time's getting close to being ended, so I want to read two or three more verses here just to kind of show that difference. Proverbs 1, verse 15 says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. And when I read that scripture, it speaks very loudly, or it should speak very loudly. My son, do not walk in the way with them. I see that as the Lord telling us not to walk as the world, but to make our own path to Him. Not to walk on their path, but to be in the Lord. Keep your feet from that path. Do not give in to and follow that path, but be different. And then over in 1 Samuel 16 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord is looking for something different than what the world is projecting. And that's why we have to be different in how we live for Christ. And the last verse is Philippians 2, verse 15. Philippians 2, verse 15 says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So I just want to leave you with that last verse, because that's who we are when we are in Christ. When we are in Christ, and we are, as the song says, in Christ alone, we are the lights of the world that Christ wants us to be, that the Lord wants us to be. I appreciate your time. I hope my voice is a little better at the second hour, but at this time we'll have a word of prayer.